Our latest reporting initiative, powered by you, is called Beat Me. We are inviting you to ask questions about things you've always wanted to know of our beat reporters. Environmental reporter Susan Bentz kicks off this feature on today's show.
And for the inaugural Beat Me, we have a question submitted separately by two listeners. Jane Bowers of Shorewood emailed us, as did this resident of Washington Park.
Hi, I'm Beth Van Gorp, and my question was about why does Milwaukee have so many parks?
To get at the answer, Susan went out to a couple of area parks. In just a few minutes, we'll hear what she learned from Julia Robson on site at Grant Park. But first, she traveled to Lake Park, where she met writer and unofficial park historian Virginia Small, who introduces us to the late 19th century man who could be considered the father of Milwaukee's park system.
It was actually Christian Wall, who was an immigrant, lived in Milwaukee as a child, moved to Chicago, was a very successful businessman, and also an elected official in Chicago. He moved back to Milwaukee when he retired, and he was the one who really waged the campaign and wouldn't let it go. Yeah. He was retired, he had time on his hands, and he was in Chicago, which did have thriving public parks. So he was the one who was probably carrying the banner and saying, we are not going to be a real city unless we have public parks. There are no places for all of these workers and citizens to recreate. So he was very much a proponent. He had also was familiar with Frederick Law Olmsted and his work from living in Chicago. It was close to when the Chicago World's Fair was being planned in Chicago. But other people around the country all were saying you can't have a great city without great parks. And this was happening starting in the 1860s when Central Park was created by Frederick Law Olmsted and his partner Calvert Fox. So the parks movement nationally had been going on for 30 years or more.
So we were a little late to the party.
Yeah, we were. We were a little late to the party. And it took some time to catch up.
Now, 2017, people still talk about the Emerald Necklace. When did the Emerald Necklace come to life, or was it a gradual connection of those pieces?
Right. The Emerald Necklace is actually a term that is an official name of a parks network in Boston. We've sort of adopted that idea. It's not the official name of it, but the Necklace of Green is what Olmsted talked about in Milwaukee originally when he came here. So in 1892, his first visit here was in 1892, but he was in correspondence with Wall since about 1889, and he helped to select the sites. He helped to create the concept of a system where you have a number of parks that are networked in concept as well as physically connected. Prime example is Riverside Park and Lake Park connected by Newberry Boulevard, all of which was envisioned by Olmsted. So, but the actual idea for an encircling necklace of green or whatever.
Parkways
and all that. That evolved with the input of Charles Whitnall and others. But he was the one that created the plan for that whole network. But that concept of parkways and all that, that goes back to Olmsted in the 1860s. And he first did it in Prospect Park in New York. So they created the idea of the parkway. And it was designed specifically to be a way to link parks so that you had a continuous experience. Olmsted was all about like having a flowing experience wherever you were in a park, coming into a park, leaving a park. But then the idea in Milwaukee was to have those parkways go countywide, not just within the city. And that was definitely with Charles Whitnall.
So tell us more about Charles Whitnall. What kind of guy was he?
Well, Charles Whitnall was first a florist. His family business was, so he was a horticulturist. He was, his family developed the what's now FTD line of floral delivery. He lived near the Milwaukee River over what's now Locust near Humboldt. And he was a successful businessman. Then he eventually left that and became involved in city government. He was a socialist. He was for a short period was elected as a, I believe, treasurer. But his passion was parks. And because he understood nature, he was driven by his knowledge, but also was very much a visionary about what were the purposes of parks and how that would serve a growing community. You know, he was born in 1860, around then. So he was kind of like the next generation of people conceiving of what parks would be. But he was also somebody who valued the natural resources, protecting and preserving them. Olmsted is considered the first environmentalist. Then his protege, Warren Manning, worked with him on the Milwaukee parks. He stayed as a consultant. He didn't live here ever, but he stayed on consulting with the early park commission, the city park commission. He's considered the first environmental planner among landscape architects. He was involved with Kosciuszko Park, designing it with Mitchell Park. He designed the Mitchell Park Sunken Garden. So we had these really great minds and visionaries, people who were coming from the East Coast, as well as people like Charles Whitnall, who was a resident. And that was sort of the ideal combination. Mm-hmm. You know, having people who were doing this on a national scale, but also people within the ranks like Christian Wall and Charles Whitnall, who were locals, who were committed, who could carry that banner year after year after year, because that's what it takes. Mm-hmm.
So as time went on, the city had parks and there was county parkland.
Right. They functioned independently for quite a number of years until 1936, when they merged and the county took on the parks within the city. And that was after careful study by both the county and the city, committees of residents and probably some government officials, evaluating, was this a good idea or was it not?
For our last stop on the Beats Me Parks adventure, I'm with Julia Robson with Milwaukee County Parks, and we're strolling Grant Park. We're trying to make sure we're not hit by a golf ball. But as I drove in, Julia, I passed soccer fields, tennis courts, playgrounds, you know, obviously picnic areas, beautiful little spots where you see Lake Michigan. This is really a glorious
It's
example of our parks,
park.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, when you look back at what the founders of the park system were looking to do, especially Charles B. Whitnall, Grant Park is kind of the epitome of what they were looking to put together for a park system. You know, it's this mixture of beautiful natural landscape with a bunch of recreational opportunities for the public. And, you know, Charles B. Whitnall, he always said that parks are a common good for the public. And that's what Grant Park really is the epitome of.
Part of your job, you have your eyes and ears in the air and looking around to talk about what you do in the parks. And you said you have 100 sites that you monitor?
Yep, so the park system comprises of just over 140 parks and parkways. We've got over 15,000 acres of land in the park system, and 10,000 of that is all considered natural area, and that's where my job falls, along with the rest of our team. And we do habitat management, environmental education and outreach, and wildlife management and research within all of the parks. And that each year for us usually equates to about 50 to 60 different sites that we work at. Grant Park, especially a couple years ago, we spent a lot of time here. What we're walking towards right up the road here is an area where we took some underutilized mowed turf grass and actually planted it with about 20 different species of native trees and shrubs to improve wildlife habitat, but then also help to filter stormwater runoff from the park before it reaches Lake Michigan. That's just directly to the east. So we did a lot of green infrastructure projects here in the park and invasive species removal. Work with the Friends group that's here too. The Friends of Grant Park are a really active group of volunteers that are very engaged and passionate about the park that we absolutely appreciate.
It's migrating bird season, so you're doing a little of that monitoring.
Yes. So we're kind of in the swing of fall migration and picking up kinglets and some of the sparrows. White-crowned sparrows are coming through, which are one of my favorites. But wildlife monitoring, it ties in directly to all of the habitat management that we do in the parks, because wildlife, they're great indicators of the environmental health of the parks and the natural areas that we have. So monitoring how they respond to all of the habitat restoration that we're doing and improvements that we're attempting to make is a really great way for us to understand if we're successful in what we're doing. Grant Park is special for me because this is actually where I saw my first and only pine warbler, and it's the only spot in the county that I've ever seen one. And they prefer, you know, hence their name, pine trees, which Grant Park has plenty of. But being right along the lakefront here, Grant Park's just a great place to come and see a fantastic variety of not only migrating species in the spring and fall, but even in the breeding season in June.
So what attracted you to your work, Julia, and why is this a great place to practice it?
I've always known I've wanted to be working outdoors and in the environment. And I think what attracted me to working in an urban area are the challenges of doing it. You know, in urban areas, that's where people and the natural world meet. And
collide,
well, yeah, at times definitely. But I think that for me, my goal is, I look at it as, if we can't figure out how to do successful conservation and sustainable management of our natural resources in urban areas where there's people, the people vote, people, you know, we're in control of a lot of what happens. And if we can't figure out how to do it here, we're not going to be very successful in the long run. And it's so important to do the education here, to do the habitat restoration here. And that's what appeals to me, because it's not always easy, but I think if we can set a model here, and Milwaukee's doing that, I mean, we're really fortunate to have the park system that we have here. We have so much green space, not just concentrated in one area either. It's laid out in this emerald necklace, this green belt throughout the county. So there's people who are affected by nature and have access to these parks every day in their backyards, and these parks are their backyards. And it's important that we figure out how to do conservation, we figure out how to do it right where there's people.
Lake Effect's Susan Bentz is WUWM's environmental reporter. She spoke with Julia Robson and Virginia Small for our first Beats Me feature. You can submit your questions for her or for our other beat reporters at WUWM.com.